All right, this call tonight's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
McBride?
Here.
Holstrom?
Here.
Steele?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Merkin?
Here.
Cable?
Here.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda for tonight? Seeing none, the agenda will stand approved. Any changes to the minutes of our February meeting? The minutes shall also stand approved. We have a time now for public comments on issues that are not scheduled to be heard by the Planning Commission tonight, just a general public input forum. Is there anyone who'd like to speak on an issue that is not scheduled to be heard? Okay. Thank you. And we will move on to our one and only public hearing for tonight, CUP 01-17. You got this one, Jerry?
I got it.
Okay.
As you mentioned, conditional use permit 0117, summary, is Youth and Shelter Services is proposing to acquire a 74-acre parcel located at 5500 240th Street to start a boys' youth addiction treatment facility. They are proposing to construct a new treatment facility, living quarters for the clients and staff, a parking lot area, a connected recreation and gardening area for sustainable agricultural practices, all to be located northwest of the existing unoccupied single-family dwelling on that property. The existing single-family dwelling is intended to be used for office and welcoming center. Property information, Wanda Chafin McKay, Trust, Doug McKay, property owner, applicant Andrew Allen, Youth and Shelter Services, 420 Kellogg, Ames. Again, property location, 5500 240th Street, Washington Township, Section 18. We're in unincorporated Story County. Property is zoned A1 Agricultural District. It's also located in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, Urban Service Area, subcategory, Urban Residential and Natural Areas. It's also located about a quarter mile south of the corporate limits of the city of Ames. This all started with a text amendment that was initiated by YSS. We went through a process that incorporated new language for human service facilities and programs in the Story County Land Development Regulations, Chapter 90, which deals with the conditional use permit process. That went through the review before the conceptual review, which is a meeting of all the representatives in Story County. Ultimately, the amendment was submitted and was before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then ultimately it was approved by the Board of Supervisors on January 3, 2017. So, human service facilities and programs may be permitted in all zoning districts except for Greenbelt Conservation District, if granted a conditional use permit by the Board of Adjustment. The request, or through that amendment process, it was made known in the staff report that this particular location, 5500 240th Street, was of interest to YSS to start their youth addictions treatment facility. A little background history, current location. First off, YSS has provided services to 4,300 youth over the past 35 years. They're currently at 712 Burnett Avenue, and they also have a facility at 804 Kellogg. That one is for females. The first one is currently for boys. They're regulated by the Department of Public Health, and they also have national accreditation through the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities. Location, again, we're south of the city of Ames, south of Highway 30, west of South Dakota Avenue, just off of 240th Street. Again, Section 18, Washington Township. We're going to be zooming in. Red dots represent adjacent single-family dwellings. And there's four adjacent to the subject property, again, which is about a 74-acre parcel. Land use, there are some scattered single-family dwellings, large agricultural parcels. There are some parcels with dense trees, creeks. There is some floodplain in this area. Closer view, again, there is, again, it's a 74-acre parcel. There's an existing single access and driveway that extends to an existing unoccupied single-family dwelling that was built in 97. There's a creek, as you can see, that meanders through the central portion, extends down to the southwest portion of the property. Much of the property has scattered trees. Most of the dense treed areas are along the creek area, along the southeast, and along the west. This aerial doesn't really show you what the current stand looks like. And then there's trees scattered throughout. This is a representation of the 100-year floodplain. Again, it's the blue or the gray area. What they're proposing to do would be to construct the treatment facilities, the residential facilities, including the recreational and the gardening areas would be outside of that 100-year floodplain, outside of the natural areas. This is the zoning map. Everything that you see to the north, partially to the east, south and west is A1 agricultural district. There is an AR zone here to the east, which is a 1 acre minimum lot size for single family dwellings. Ames River Fringe, as I mentioned, X gives you the approximate location of where the building site would be. This is urban service, urban residential. Natural areas would be the green designation. Again, the concept all along is for YSS to do a campus-type environment in a rural setting, to allow more space for their clients to experience a rural setting, a rural lifestyle, where they have some space also for recreation and participating in the sustainable gardening. It also has, this particular location has proximity to the city of Ames for services that would be provided there. The county's development regulations do permit up to 15% of the natural occurring resources to be removed for grading, building site clearance, driveway, other construction activity. With what they're proposing, they're calculating about 5% of the natural resources would be removed with this request. As we mentioned, there is natural, there's a creek that runs through it. There's mature trees that are on both sides of the creek. Grading change about 2 feet from the front property line to about where they're proposing to build. The building, so it's a relatively level area in the front. As I mentioned, the highest areas are in the southeast and southwest portions of the property. There's about a 12 to 18 foot grade that's higher in those areas compared to the other areas. This is a concept site plan drawing that was submitted. Again, it shows you the entire area, and we'll zoom in here on the next site. It shows the existing access. No new accesses are being proposed. They're showing an extension to the south and west for like a welcome area, a parking area in this location, the treatment facility, which would be connected to the residential units to the south of there. They show some green spaces, and there would be secured, those would be secured with the residential areas. And then the large green space represents the proposed recreation area. And then they have the agricultural gardening location on the north side of that proposed area. So all of this would be outside of the floodplain, outside of the natural resource area. Into the photos, this is taken from Google, actually. It's from South Dakota. This is extending south. The road 240th is to the right there. A little perspective view. The road does meander to the west, to the north, and then back to the west again. This shows you the location, again, perspective aerial. This is the existing unoccupied house. 240th Street is gravel road, which shows you the access coming in. There are, you can see, too, in this aerial that there's a couple of residences to the north. This is a site photo. We took site photos two different times. One time when we were looking at the requested text amendment, and then last week we went back out to take a look at the site further. This is the entrance into the property. The access is paved driveway, looking to the south. This is turning at 180 and looking to the north. Again, 240th Street is gravel. This is the existing dwelling. It is unoccupied. It was built in 1997. And that's an accessory structure garage that's located on that property. Their intention is to use that for storing equipment. And then we took these last week. We did receive comment from an attorney who was considering representing one of the property owners. And there's a concern or a question about the location of the treatment facility with regard to an adjacent property owner. So we did go back out and take a look at it again. So this first one is looking to the south towards the dwelling, which is in the center of the photo. This is looking to the southwest. You can see the grade does increase a little bit there from the drive, probably about 8 feet or so. This is looking to the north. This is the driveway coming in. We're west of the driveway looking to the east. You see the county car on the driveway. This is looking north toward the city of Ames. This is the approximate location of where the buildings would be located. Again, north and west of the creek area. This is looking to the west. Again, we're working our way toward the west side of the property. There is a dwelling to the west. We went to the approximate common property line, looking to the northwest, looking northward. This is the view to the northeast, looking back towards where the building site would be. And again, this is one of the higher areas of the site. The southwest and the southeast are the two highest locations. Closer view. With a conditional use permit, the Planning and Zoning Commission is to review the standards of approval. These are the standards that the Board of Adjustment is to consider when reviewing and making decisions about a conditional use permit. The first item talks about compatibility. And basically, the site was chosen due to the size of the parcel and to allow the clients to experience a rural living. The natural features provide somewhat of a reasonable buffer from the adjacent property owners. Again, this is about a 74-acre parcel. They looked at that it's conducive to the planned site improvements that are proposed, and then they looked at the location due to limited disruption to public road and nearby properties. Transition, the proposed buildings and parking improvements are planned for the area, which would be more centrally located, again, on the west side of the creek. They are proposing to meet the 20% impervious landscape requirement. Again, 20% of the proposed improvements, which includes the drive, the footprint of buildings, any grading area, 20% of that's supposed to be landscaped. They're proposing to meet those requirements around buildings and the parking area. We talked about the trees already. Traffic, existing traffic counts about 60 vehicles per day. Again, no new accesses are proposed. They are anticipating anywhere from 8 to 12 staff being at this facility on a given day, and they're anticipating approximately 24 to 32 trips, which would include the staff, deliveries that they might get, volunteers, that type of thing. One of the conditions that we have on here is to address the dust control, And again, 60 is the current average daily traffic. And if it exceeds 150, they would be required to do dust control. They can request to do dust control at any time to if they make application to the Story County Engineering Office. But that was one of the conditions that is being suggested. Signs and lighting is also to be considered. They are proposing to do a nondescript external sign by the entrance to indicate their use in being there. Lighting would be limited to like walkways and areas around buildings. Some of the environmental issues we've talked about, they are proposing to build outside the floodplain. They would be meeting the 20% landscape requirement of impervious surfaces that are added. The Story County Land Development Regulations also require them to meet Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and ASUDIS, the state urban design criteria. And these things would come about if the conditional use permit is approved by the Board of Adjustment. They would be required to submit zoning permit applications and site development plans, and this is where these things would be addressed. Due to the size, they'll also be required to have a state stormwater discharge permit. And then due to the size of what's proposed, it would be under the Iowa DNR regulations. You are to look at the impact on additional items, which the first one talks about health, safety, and general welfare. Proposed use of the subject property will be somewhat of a deviation from the existing status, again, which is a 74-acre parcel that contains a single-family dwelling that's unoccupied. Much of the activity, though, will occur inside the treatment facility and the residential facilities that are proposed. The clients and staff will be outdoors, though. They are planning to have outdoor recreational areas and gardening areas that we showed. There are four adjacent dwellings, contiguous to the subject property. There's additional dwellings to the east and to the west. We talked a little bit about the buffering. Most of those houses do have existing natural mature trees that will provide some relief in buffering. And then distances range from about 750 feet to a little under 2,000 feet from the dwellings, again, which are adjacent to the closest buildings. Impair adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties. Again, the impact to light and air should be minimal. We talked a little bit about the traffic. Again, if it exceeds 150, there's a condition that they be required to provide dust control adjacent to single-family dwellings. Unduly increased congestion in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. Again, they're planning on, the anticipation is there would be anywhere from 24 to 32 vehicle trips daily. And that's about half of the current traffic load. Diminish or impair established property values. Again, the proposed improvements are planned to match the design of existing buildings and fit in with the site constraints or site conditions of the property. This information was brought to all the departments, including the assessor's department, which raised no concern about the proposed use. Last one is to not to be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or the county cornerstone to capstone, which is the new land use plan. Again, this proposed use is consistent with the C2C plan. We went through that when we looked at the proposed amendment as well. And we did have interagency review, as I mentioned. Comment from the County Engineering Department was with regard to the proposed or the suggestion on the dust control, which is a part of the condition. Our department had questions about the recovery home, Silver Lifestyle Program, which we were told that would be off-site. that would not occur at this location. A lot of questions about the site concept drawing. You know, how many clients would come to this particular location? The use of the accessory structure. Environmental Health had comments about the proposed wastewater facility, which again would be under the DNR's review purview authority. She mentioned that a time of transfer would be needed to do the inspections if and when the property is sold. And then there was comments from the floodplain projects manager about a request to designate the floodplain as an outlaw and a deed restriction placed on the property to keep development out of there, which is also a part of the condition.
Who's the she?
Leanne Harder.
Okay, I missed that part.
Comments from general public. We did send notices on the 21st with regard to the request to all property owners within a quarter mile. We did receive a phone call on the 23rd from adjacent property owner to the east, primarily about the text amendment process that we went through, and the city of Ames had a request to add an amendment to that CUP process that would make it a requirement that applicants contact the city to learn about additional requirements for annexation, different agreements about extension of utilities and various services. And those amendments were not supported by the Planning and Zoning Commission. It was a single amendment, was not supported by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it was not supported by the Board of Supervisors. Also received a call from an attorney who is considering representing somebody locating to the west of the subject property, and indicated that that person had a concern or a comment about the location of the building, and there was a question about the site plan, which we provided a copy to. We also received an email on the 27th from a adjacent landowner to the north who had several questions. Planning staff did provide responses to some of those, and Andrew did provide responses to those. I think there was like 28 questions, and we did respond to those. So that brings us to our recommendation. Based on the submittal, based on the background, the analysis that was provided, based on the site review, based on the work that was done on the text amendment, staff is recommending approval with conditions, which would be alternative number two. The first one deals with the dust control. The applicant shall provide dust control on 240th Street adjacent to existing and future dwellings if daily traffic counts to and from the subject property contribute to exceeding 150 vehicles per day on 240th. At any time, the Planning and Development Department may request the applicant to hire an engineer to study the traffic counts on the street. And two, no proposed lighting shall be installed near a common property line of an adjacent property containing a single-family dwelling or in other locations that cause the light to trespass beyond the common boundary unless it is agreed to by the adjacent landowner. And three, the boundary of the floodplain located on the subject property shall be labeled as an outlot on the site development plan submitted with future zoning permit applications for new buildings, and a deed restriction prohibiting development in the floodplain shall be prepared and recorded. Again, the applicant is aware of these conditions and in agreement to them. So that would bring us to alternative number two, which is the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the conditional use permit as put forth in CUP 01-17 with conditions recommended by county staff, and directs staff to place the case on the March 15, 2017 Board of Adjustment agenda. So that is the answer to your questions.
Any questions for the staff? For Jerry? Can you back up one to your recommended conditions? In number three, the terminology of defining
outlot, is that, is the term necessary chosen for a specific reason? I mean, because in a sense, they would, creating a lot would require a new plat, a survey at least, and maybe a subdivision. Are we talking more like a defined zone? Or
probably more like a defined zone, to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay, so it's noted on the site plan.
Right.
Okay, not officially created as a lot.
Structures out of the...
Okay. And then I'm wondering about the last portion of the first condition, where the development... You're reserving the right to the development department to request... they hire an engineer. I mean, you can request it with whether that condition, whether that's in the condition.
Just
to
let it be known, I think.
Just kind of a heads up.
Because okay. This could come from staff, or it could come from interest from users of the road.
Okay.
So I guess my question is that number 150, is that come from any place in particular, or
the county engineer?
Okay.
Does it mark a threshold between service levels? I would think 150 would drop at a service level, would it?
Well, there's currently 60, so it's double the current.
Right.
150% increase dedicated specifically to this property.
So it's a big relative change, but as far as transportation planning service levels, I wouldn't believe it would push it over.
It's not going to change it into a different classification function.
Okay.
So on slide 4, you don't have to go back to it, but it mentioned that the recommendation is our recommendation to the Board of Adjustment, or is it
Board of Adjustment?
Board of Supervisors. Okay.
Yeah, same question. Why is that
and
not just I'm trying to figure it out because I'm
yeah. Well, it's mainly because it's set out in the Story County Land Development Regulations that's our process.
Okay.
And it all starts with a conceptual review, which is this informal sit-down with the applicant and the county departments, just kind of learn more about the request. And then if they decide to go forward, they submit the application, the fee, the narrative, and any additional information that's needed to do the adequate review. But it involves... The first major step is the Planning and Zoning Commission review and recommendation to the Board of Adjustment. That's the Planning Authority to make the decision.
So, what is this site currently zoned as?
You said A1.
And how many people are going to be? What's the proposed occupancy of the?
32 with the first and second phases.
Mm-hmm.
With staff.
Is that an appropriate zoning? I know that you talked about the new language for the specific type of CUP, but is that a correct zoning for a 30 to 40 person?
What makes it correct is the process involves the conditional use permit submittal.
Excuse me, Mr. Jarman, for those of us in the back of the room, I'm having trouble hearing. And we have a sound system, and I wish you would use it. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear us up here at the front?
I can hear you when you speak into the microphone. Yes.
Okay.
I'll use my teacher voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, the text amendment is the process that we are to follow, which again, human service type uses beyond what would be allowed in like a family group home type situation requires the conditional use permit submittal, and if they can locate in an A1 district.
Jerry, is your mic on?
No, it's not.
Is it on now?
Yeah. Hello, Raymond.
I'm sorry about that.
So, in essence, we are to determine if it's appropriate.
Okay.
And because as soon as we go into a conditional use permit setting, as opposed to a use by right zoning sort of question, we are determining on the merits of each individual project that's submitted as a conditional use for them, whether the impacts are great enough or not to make it appropriate in that.
The scope is appropriate for a CUP versus the zoning change.
Right.
So I think I need to go to school more.
And am I correct? The supervisors approved a text amendment that allowed this back in January, and we recommended approval of that, didn't we?
Correct, you did.
Okay. Thank you.
Setting the stage for us to consider in the future all sorts of conditional use permit applications for all sorts of social services at different scales.
Out of curiosity, Jerry, are there other examples of facilities like this in rural Iowa or other rural counties?
Here, staff in the Fondo.
There are specific site information. I don't know that I can give you that today. I can tell you, I looked at a lot of different samples from a lot of different counties, and it was an apples-to-apples type comparison, and we patterned the language off of not all of them, but quite a few of those ordinances.
Rural, not that it's a direct comparison to this proposal, but rural county homes in Iowa used to be quite common. Right. Sprague County has an old county home site. Most counties do.
So there's was a cook in Marshall County one. Yes, I know.
Do your conditions that you attached to the approval, did they include, I know there was a letter received from from someone in Ames, right? And they suggested conditions.
We did receive a letter at 1:30 today from the City of Ames Planning and Housing staff. It's from their director. They are asking the Planning and Zoning Commission to, add conditions. I can just kind of try to summarize their points. The first thing is that they would like the Planning and Zoning Commission to acknowledge that the site or facility does not interfere or detract from desirability of adjacent landowners who are interested maybe in seeking annexation and becoming more urbanized. Second thing that's mentioned is future participation. Again, it relates to urbanization of the area and that rural development not hinder urbanization. The third thing talks about a 40-foot wide right-of-way. They're acknowledging that 240th is gravel to allow for future road improvements to occur. They also talk about covenants. City also requests that the condition be included that is consistent with standard rural subdivisions. Again, there's no subdivision that's being planned or proposed with this, but they indicate that a covenant should be added, that the property owners agree to participate in future assessments for public improvements at the request of the city. Also that the another covenant acknowledging that the property owner must voluntarily participate in annexation at the request of the city. And then the third thing is they're talking about plans to extend sanitary sewer, potentially that might extend through this property, and they provide language about requesting a blanket easement, which is non-specific. They're saying likely that it would extend through the creek area that meanders through this property, but they would like a blanket easement to be provided for a future extension of the sanitary sewer line. So these are things that they're asking the Planning and Zoning Commission to adopt and make as conditions with what's being proposed. And thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Karen?
Yes.
Do you know if the City of Ames has met with YSS previously to discuss these things?
You would have to ask
Under that, he is here. My recollection is that they've had meetings and discussions with the city staff about their project.
Okay.
Good segue. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is really fancy. But if I lived in this house and stood out on my deck, I'd want to be thinking about this. Everybody's got to be someplace. This is a fantastic opportunity. I don't know why the land is picked, but this just fits right in this place. Again, if I'm up this, I don't know what kind of house is up here and some of these other ones, and if they were my planned retirement last place I was going to live, I would be concerned about this. And yes, there are significant concerns that we got from an email from someone who's impacted on this.
Jim, maybe if we could focus on finishing up questions.
Okay,
for
I'm about done.
Any others?
Okay. I'm about done. But I'm going to send a piece. You just added 4 more seconds on.
Well, we're going to have plenty of time for a commission discussion.
Okay, that's good.
You
guys are
going
to get a chance to speak. I'm done.
Absolutely. We've got a long way to go here.
I'm done.
Nothing more
but
prepared.
But these are things that are bothering me, and I'm supposed to, let that people know that I'm considered about that. I'll watch it myself.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to address the commission? Up here? That'd be fine, or the podium, whatever you like. If you can state your name and business address for the record, please.
Andrew Allen. Can you hear me okay, guys?
No.
I can go to the podium, too.
Try that.
Andrew Allen. 420 Kellogg Avenue, YSS. I'm the president and CEO. And submitting on behalf of the organization with authorization from the landowner, Doug McKay, who's in attendance as well. Let me just say quickly, introduce YSS, a 40-year human service organization based in Ames. We're about 400 employees spread across 7 different communities, and we work in 3 areas: prevention, treatment, and transition. Our legal name is Youth and Shelter Services. We went through a rebranding about 6 months ago, and now we're just referred to as YSS. And the way that we talk about YSS is youth standing strong. So shelter is at our root, but that's just a very small piece of what we do today. We're in schools talking to kids about child abuse prevention, being too good for drugs, before and after school programs, mentoring programs. We've got a whole host of programs around treatment for therapy, counseling for kids and families, as well as inpatient substance abuse treatment, which we're talking about today. And then we've got a segment of programs focused on transitional services, really helping kids that are aging into adulthood, so we can work with kids up to 25, especially if they're pregnant or parenting, providing them with housing. As I think about our role in this community, I think a lot about the mission of the organization. And while our 40-year history is being honored in every way, we did just update the mission. At the end of the day, we exist for 2 reasons: to provide hope and opportunity. We do that by putting kids first. As I think about this project, I can't think of a better opportunity to give families and kids hope and provide them with an opportunity for a brighter future. We've been operating a similar program for 35 years, since 1981. We've served nearly 4,300 kids. YSS as an organization serves about 6,000 to 7,000 a year. We open up actual case files on 6,000 to 7,000 kids a year. But this is more intensive residential treatment. 4,300 kids since 1981. I happen to be one of them. I've got 3 other kids here with me today that I'd like to share a little bit about, put a face on addiction and recovery, because I think that's important, especially based on some of the questions that were asked. In addition to this facility, part of our project to bring, and what we feel like we will have, is world-class addictions treatment for kids in Iowa. I want to put Iowa on the map as the place to come to get sober and recover from addictions, is we're also going to address stigma. I think that a lot of people don't understand the issues around mental health and substance abuse. We all understand cancer, and when somebody has cancer, it's easy to rally around them and support them. When a family's dealing with addiction, and I know this personally, oftentimes they're ostracized. They don't know where to go for help. And so part of our project is not just going to build the facilities and the program around it, but is also to address stigma. These aren't dangerous kids. These aren't criminals. These are kids suffering from a mental illness that need support and help. And I can't think of a better spot to do it than in a rural adjacent facility like the 75 acres, 74 acres that's being presented. Currently, we're doing it in town. We've got neighbors all around us. It's not bad, but it's not world class. And Jerry was asked if there are other examples of rural treatment facilities, and there are. They're all over. We just merged with an organization in Mason City called Francis Lauer. They're in a similar spot, rural adjacent, right on the edge of town, so close enough to still be community-based. So I can get volunteers, and I can get people connected, but rural enough to give these kids space to breathe and a chance to get outdoors and a spot to heal. And so I'm very cognizant of the concerns of the neighbors, as you raised. I'll have you know that I visited each neighbor's home on a Sunday afternoon, sat across the table, had conversations, answered questions, oftentimes got support, sometimes got questions that led to more questions. I had one neighbor who may or may not be here, I'm not sure, just because I didn't meet him personally, but wasn't there. But I talked to all the neighbors that were being impacted on that day. We did respond to the questions today, specific to some of the things that were proposed. And I also want to say that while she wasn't able to be here today, Kate Gregory, who you may or may not know, is number two or three in charge at Iowa State. So when Warren Madden retired last year, Kate took some of his responsibilities. She is the closest neighbor adjacent to 804 Kellogg, across the street from where these boys are living today. She provided me with a letter of recommendation that I included in the neighbor packet when I visited them 2 weeks ago. And while she couldn't be here today, she's given me her cell phone. If any of the neighbors want to call and see what her experience has been living across the street from a substance abuse treatment program for these kids, she wants to share it. When we told her that we were going to move it, she was sad because she enjoys seeing these kids and the progress that they're making. So let me put a face on this. I'm going to ask Max from Norwalk, who graduated in December, to come up and just tell you a little bit about himself.
Excuse me. I'm Max. I'm from Norwalk. I'm 17. I was at Youth Recovery House from mid-August to mid to late December of 2016. I have what I would call like a pretty privileged childhood growing up, but there's like a lot of people who do smoke pot and drink a lot in Norwalk, and I got into that crowd a little bit, and then I liked it a lot more than some people because of the way I am. That's how drug addiction works. And my parents decided to send me to YRH this summer because I didn't really do anything except for smoke pot and drink all summer. And I got to YRH, and at first I was skeptical about the whole thing. I didn't really think I needed to be there. But over time I started seeing changes in my behavior and the way I felt about things. And I became more positive about life, and it's really helped me realize that I can have a good life if I stay sober, and it gave me the tools and resources that I need to stay sober. It actually introduced me to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'm active in, and that's helpful. And I mean, it was great at YRH, but it would be really cool in such a nice area where you can go outside and there's a pond, so you can go fishing and do all sorts of cool recreational and fun stuff, and that would be really nice. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Mason from West Des Moines is going to share too.
Mason, before you start, if I could just say, if you can keep your comments to about the same length, that'd be wonderful.
Okay. All
right, thanks.
I'm Mason. I am 18, and I'm from West Des Moines. So I started using around age 13. I didn't really like myself a lot. I didn't really have a lot of self-confidence, and I felt like I was always missing something. And then when I found drugs and alcohol, it sort of just clicked. So that was just my thing for a while. And then so I kept getting in trouble, doing more worse stuff. And then about 5 years later, I ended up coming to YRH. At first, I was skeptical of it. My PO pretty much told me I had to come here, so I thought, okay, well, I'll do this and give it a try. And I didn't like it at first. I don't think anybody likes it at first. You're fighting going into it. But after about 20 days of being there, I realized it was actually helping me, and this is what I needed my whole life. I was pretty much screwing myself up for 5 years. YRH, it's not keeping me sober, but it's giving me the tools to stay sober. It's not something that everybody goes through and it works, but there's always a few kids that it works for, and like, it keeps you doing a bunch of new stuff. You learn all about yourself, introduce you to AA, so you have good support groups outside of here. And YRH is a great place. YSS is a great foundation. And I think it would be great to have a place like this outside, so you can actually get out and do something instead of just going on walks around the neighborhood and playing out in your front yard. Like, if we had a bunch of space like this, I think it would be a great thing.
I just wanted to, I think you got, first of all, I appreciate you for being here.
Sir, can I ask, there's going to be lots of time for more public comment. If we could just let the applicant finish up their comments first.
And Weston.
It will be appropriate for you to address questions to the applicant, too. Okay.
Weston from Mayhill.
Hello. So my name is Weston. I'm from Grinnell. I'm 16. So a little bit about myself. My family, like my mom and dad, got divorced at an early age. So I was like 4 or 5. And then my dad fell into alcoholism. And so with me, I was about 13, 14-ish. I got into smoking pot with my friends. And it wasn't a big thing. It kind of was just like a weekend thing, social thing, till about freshman year, which then became my addiction that I've learned now. So I was smoking pot all the time, you know, just not so much as like being like a terrible kid, like raising hell and stuff like that, but it was more of just not listening to my parents and stuff like that. So they decided to send me to YSS. And when I got there, it was more of like wanting to get out there, get out like all the time. I was like telling them to call my parents, you know, get me out, stuff like that. But now, like over the time, I've been there for 70 some days now. I'm almost out, but I've learned a bunch from here. It's not really them keeping us sober, telling us, you know, you need to do this, this, and this. It's more of like teaching us ways to do it and giving us the tools, like those two said, to stay sober when you get out of here. Like, I didn't even know that my dad was in AA or whatever. And I went there this weekend, a couple weekends back, and then I'm getting connected with AA and stuff just because YSS was, it introduced me to it. And I think that when, if we were to get out of town, you know, just being stuck in the house is like, it's scuffy with all those boys in there and stuff. It's, I feel like it'd be way better to be out in like a nice area, you know, where we could all go outside. We could do a whole bunch more activities than what we're restricted at the house.
Thank you.
I when I went in there, I told Andrew, I was like, wow, this place looks super nice. This place, like, actually looks official and stuff. Like, going up the driveway and stuff is something that you'd think you'd see on TV or something like that. But I really like the area and stuff, and I understand, like, what you guys are saying about with the neighbors and stuff, but it's not really, this program isn't really the place for kids that, like, are criminals, like what Andrew said and stuff. We're just here to better ourselves and better our lives so that we don't end up to that criminal and stuff like that. And thank you guys for having us, and that's it.
Well, I couldn't say any better. I could say it because I'm 21 years sober, but I think it's different when you hear it from these guys. These are kids, guys. We're talking about kids. We're talking about giving them hope and opportunity. I want to address just a couple things, and then I'll be done. While some of these kids have probation officers and have been court-ordered to treatment, no kid can be court-ordered that we don't want. So we have every discretion. We've got an intake process and a screening process, and we only take kids that we feel like are going to be successful. If we thought a kid was going to commit a crime while he was at YRH or at YSS, we would not accept them. So we have that discretion, just so that people know. And again, we want to be a good neighbor. YSS has been a part of the community for 40 years. I'm committed to making sure that this thing is successful. I'm committed to ensuring that we will be a good neighbor. And we're going to do everything we can to ensure that. Finally, in case I don't get a chance to address it, and I appreciate Jerry, you asking the question, and then Jerry answering it, but the request from the City of Ames that we received today at 1:30 is identical or very, very similar to the same request that we received for the text amendment change to code, which you turned down, and the County Board of Supervisors turned down as well. So we sure don't want to agree or feel like we're in a position to take on, you know, I hear things like assessments, annexation, and I just see dollar signs, and I don't, as a nonprofit, well, I feel like we've got some financial stability. We're going to have to raise a ton of money to make this thing happen, and there's no way that I can take on future expenses without knowing what they are right now. So we sure don't support that. And, you can ask questions. I almost appreciate if, you know, if I could answer them, maybe versus the kids. And I've also got staff here, too. So I've got the person that runs our program and the person that really oversees all of operations and our accreditation as well. And I'll hand out the things that I provided to the neighbors.
Are there any questions for Andrew?
I have a few questions. You asking for permission? First, just a comment. I used to live catacorner across the street from 804 Kellogg.
Maybe in Kate Gregory's house?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know where she lives right now. But anyway, I used to live right across the street, and just to add to what she said, I never had any problems. Let's talk about staffing pattern, would you? How many people will be there at any given time? Because I know that's a concern that was brought up.
Jason, you want to tell me, and I can relay it? We have an 8-to-1 ratio that we're required to have. There'd never be anybody there by themselves. You know, I think we did put some initial numbers in there as it relates to, you know, 24. We've got 8-person pods, 8 to 12 any one time. But you can address.
There's always been a minimum of 2 staff there if there are 16 kids. 1-to-5 staff ratio. We follow that with our public health residential treatment.
So at a minimum 2. During the day, though, probably half a dozen or, you know, maybe even 10.
Okay, thank you. And I don't know who to ask this of. I received an email from Mr. John Moore. And did you respond to that? Did you have responses to the questions in his email?
We did.
Okay, are those available for the commission?
Sure.
I received the email.
We did email that.
I received the email. I don't
remember seeing the response.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see the response.
I have it right here. I can see it now.
Well, I'd like to look at them
sometimes. We did respond to them in good faith, trying to be a good neighbor. We weren't sure how applicable they were to this proceeding, but we responded. Okay.
Okay.
I've looked at the plans, and can you give me a little bit better overview of what the physical facilities will be like? You're referencing residential pods and common areas and things. Can you give me a...
We don't have construction drawings yet. It's definitely going to fit within the landscape. You know, I heard urban, I heard rural. We're wanting this to look rural, so I want it to look kind of like a farm. I've got my architects here. We don't have construction drawings yet. But imagine a kitchen. Imagine communal living space. Imagine therapy rooms. Imagine residential quarters. Imagine a gym.
Questions for the applicant?
Maybe to clarify your first answer, when I asked if you'd seen the letter from the City of Ames, are you saying that you are not able to, or you would not want to have all those conditions on your project?
Correct. It may make it untenable. You know, I don't know that we could commit to future expenses that we've got no idea what they are.
Okay. And I need to review the letter again because I haven't seen it for very long. Excuse me.
Well, the letter with regard to these proceedings showed up at 1:30 today. I got it from Jerry at 2:30.
Yeah. And I wasn't on email until about half an hour before.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, somebody alerted me.
Another question?
Well, let me ask you this. Are there any things in Kelly's letter that you said, yes, that won't be a problem? Are you to say that?
Tell me what would it take to do right away? You know, I haven't reviewed it. I don't think I'm interested in any of these things, given the fact that I've not had a chance to review them, nor have I, you know, had an attorney look at it.
That's fair. Thank you.
Yeah.
If there are no more questions for the applicant, then we will, in just a moment, open the hearing to public comment. Let me just, if I could, get a gauge as to who plans to speak. This doesn't commit you or lock you in or prevent you from speaking if you change your mind. But can I just get a show of hands as to the number of people who would like to speak on this issue tonight?
Including maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That helps a lot. What we're going to ask you to do is step to the podium. If you'd rather sit by Jerry, I'm sure he would mind. step up, speak into the mic and say your name and address for the record. Also, you are free to ask the applicant questions, but we may ask you to stay where those questions are, finish your comments and step away. Let the applicant step up to the podium to answer them. As far as addressing young men who spoke tonight, let's flow those questions through Andrew, please. I think that's fair. And if the gentleman would like to speak, then they can. With that, anyone who'd like to step up to either microphone is welcome. Oh, I should also say, let's try to avoid repetitive comments if we could. And stay focused to the topic on hand. Thank you.
I take it this is a microphone.
Yeah, it is a microphone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Richard Lozier. I'm an attorney with Bell and McCormick in Des Moines. My address is 666 Walnut Street, Suite 2000. I represent Jim and Teresa Polensky, who live at 5600 240th Street. Their mainland address is in Ames, although they are outside of the corporate limits. They own the house and the lot directly west of the proposed site. Their property is approximately 15 acres, and their lane going back to their house is about 4/10 of a mile, bordering on the west side of the subject property. We believe there are a number of reasons to oppose this project. We disagree with the staff recommendation, and we take strong exception to it. First, what is submitted in the form of an application, we believe, is premature. It's not a plan. It's a conceptual drawing. It lacks details. There are no dimensions. Mr. Allen indicated that there are no construction drawings, but what we have is far less than that. The locations of the buildings are imprecise, and it can't be determined with any confidence where they are to be located. Section 90.02, subsection 1 of the Story County Zoning Ordinance requires a plan to be submitted with an application. This is not a plan. It's a conceptual drawing and nothing more. There's not enough information to know whether this project complies with other requirements of the ordinance. There are requirements relating to transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, and environmental protection. And specifically with regard to the environmental protection issues, the email that you spoke of, ma'am, there was a question relating to the sewage treatment facilities on the site. And the response from the applicant was, this is not determined by YSS. That has to be determined by YSS. That's part of the process of getting approval for a project like this. So we believe that this application is not ready for consideration. Another item is that in the email response from YSS, the age of the clients served is not specified. It seems to be open-ended, which leads to the possibility that this could also be an adult facility, which opens up a new set of issues as far as we are concerned. Second, the zoning ordinance on the Story County website has no provision for this type of facility to be eligible for a conditional use permit. We've heard that this ordinance was amended by a text amendment effective as of January 3rd, 2017, after consideration as you described it. However, there was no notice given to any of the people who are most affected by this property. It's evident that this text amendment was initiated by YSS, I suspect, with this specific site in mind, but no notice of this a very significant change in the ordinance was ever given to people most affected by what you're considering here today. The term human services facilities and programs, as described in the ordinance, is very broad and is very open-ended and could lead to all sorts of different facilities that could be brought into play. So I think that the failure to give notice of this early procedure, preliminary to what we're doing here tonight, is a flaw in the entire procedure and should be rectified before going ahead. Third, customarily on projects of this magnitude, the applicant confers with the neighbors to explain the proposal and opportunity for feedback from the neighbors. The only indication of any conferences with neighbors has been that Mr. Allen knocked on doors on a Sunday afternoon. He didn't apparently talk to all of them. The conversation with my clients was very brief and rather perfunctory, frankly. So before proceeding, I think that it's important for this commission to be satisfied that there's been a significant and meaningful dialogue between the applicant and the affected neighbors. I don't believe that has happened to date. Fourth, this project does not comply with the applicable standards of the ordinance. In particular, Section 90.04(1)(a) provides that the proposed buildings or use shall be constructed, arranged, and operated to be compatible with the character of the zoning district and immediate vicinity. Now, there are two parts to that, and that is that the buildings and use. Specifically, what we have on the conceptual drawings is what appear to be barrack-style residential facilities. And I don't know what conclusion you can draw from the drawings that we have, other than they are simple rectangular buildings, and we don't know what's in them. But they certainly are not compatible with the surrounding area. The surrounding area are acreages, such as my client's property, 15 acres with a very nice home on it. There are other acreages with very nice homes in the immediate area. To say that having an institutional residential treatment facility is compatible with that, with the surrounding vicinity, I think it just flies in the face of all reason. The other part of that ordinance is that in addition to the buildings, the use must be compatible. And what we have in the surrounding vicinity is, or are, single-family, very nice homes. And this is an institutional facility plopped down right in the middle of that. And to say that that's a compatible use is not reasonable. Fifth, there was discussion from Mr. Moore about how the county assessor determined that there would be no impact on the diminishment in value of adjacent properties. Well, the county assessor is not a realtor, but and with respect to your point, ma'am, about sitting on your porch out in the country in beautiful surroundings and looking down on an institutional residential facility causes you concern. It causes my clients, who are faced with that prospect, a great deal of concern. And I have no doubt that it would diminish the value of their property and of all surrounding properties. So in conclusion, we request that this commission recommend to the Board of Adjustment that the application be denied. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome up the next person who'd like to speak.
My name is Mark Harmison. I'm at 2060 South 500th Avenue. So we are due west, but not adjacent to the proposed property. I'm speaking for my wife, Lisa, and myself here. We respect the concerns of our neighbors. Our neighbors have about this project. They deserve to be heard and have all their questions answered. We are sure that they will carefully consider all the information and, having done so, apply their own values to determine whether or not they can welcome YSS into our neighborhood. We support this project because we know from personal experience how badly this state needs local mental health treatment options. When you have a loved one who needs help, it is shocking to find that they have to go out of state for treatment or fall back on the services of the overworked state mental health hospitals. We support this project because we believe in the restorative value of being in nature, tending the land, and physical hard work. We believe in the dignity of raising your own food, caring for your own animals, and constructing your own life. We support this project because we understand that substance abuse is a disease, not a character flaw. The kids this program will serve would rather not be addicted to drugs or alcohol. They would rather be living the kinds of wholesome, innocent lives that we got to live. We support this project because we believe young people deserve not just a second chance, but as many chances as it takes. I missed being one of these kids because I was lucky in the genetic lottery. I got good parents, teachers, ministers, and friends. There, but for the grace of God, go I. And finally, we support this project because if we had a child who needed help, we would want somebody to have said yes.
Thank you. Anyone else?
You'll have to bear with me. I am Teresa Politsky, and I am the neighbor with my representation here. And I want to make it quite clear that we believe that this is a great project, but we also want to make it quite clear that it is a completely inappropriate location. The theory, the concept behind it is marvelous. And I, too, can respect what Mark just said, because I, too, also have family members who have not won the lottery and who have needed this desperate help. All right? We've had suicides. We've had drug addiction in our own family. And I will say that it is a very, very tough road to fall. And it is a very, very tough road and a very tough journey to get through. So I commend these three young men for being respectful, coming, and doing this. But in addition to the fact that I live right next to them, there are some significant issues for them and their safety. Let me give you one point in hand. We had a fire on the exact location of where this is proposed to be. My husband called the fire department. We are Kelly Volunteer Fire Department. We are not on the city fire department. It took them 35 minutes to respond. Do you know what damage can happen in 35 minutes? I do, because I had one of my best friends die in a fire. Okay? In addition, we have serious road issues out there. I know that you're talking about dust control, but dust control is not the problem. We have had to hire, since we've lived out there, which we moved in 2004, we've had to have road grader hired twice to get us out. Okay? So there are some significant issues that need to be withdrawn here or pulled back or whatever words you would like to choose to get addressed before this project goes further. And most of it is a safety issue, not only for the residents who might be participating in the programs, but also for the individuals who live in that neighborhood. And I did spend my entire life trying to get to retirement to do live exactly in a rural environment. I was raised in rural Iowa. I came back to rural Iowa to raise my children and to get them graduated and to actually sit on my front porch and not listen to 60 kids next door or 30 kids next door. I moved there so that I could have the wildlife. I moved it there to have the plants and so forth. So there are significant issues here that I do not think have been addressed. And as my lawyer said, you know, it does provide an institutional and immediate increase in population there. And that is not what I chose when I came back to Iowa. It's not what I hunted for. It's not what I sacrificed 20 years of working for. So I'm sure that there's questions, but that is, and if you'd like to ask me some, you can, but that is what I have to say.
Thank you.
I'm Kim Christensen at 2985 South Dakota Avenue. My wife, Becky, our property is just east of this property and borders a good chunk of it, actually. Doug and I have been neighbors for well, 35 years, I guess. I remember when YSS started with George Blitzow and Tom, what a great organization it has been and grown to and done a lot of very wonderful things. The interesting thing about this piece of property is part of the World Creek. Most of us are almost family as many times as we've gotten together, concerned about the encroachment of Ames onto our lifestyle, the same lifestyle that Teresa talks about, which is to be in the country. We enjoy it. A lot of us have huge investments out there. The city has put on a continual kind of a charge almost to want to engulf that southwest Ames area. And in fact, when Doug was trying to sell this property, they have this 2 mile fringe, as you guys are all aware, and part of this particular part is kind of a special 2 mile fringe where they want special requirements where you cannot do any subdividing or lot splitting or anything like that in this particular area, the southwest quarter. And when, of course, Doug wanted to sell his property, he wanted to sell that beautiful house on a 20-acre chunk. When he built it, he didn't realize that he had to have it separated out at that time so that he didn't have to sell it on a full 75 acres. Found out Doug's got his house on a 75-acre chunk. Okay, he can't sell it unless he sells all of that property together. And the city has made an agreement at one time with him, or approached the agreement. We all were at those meetings where the city would say, listen, Doug, that's fine. You can sell it on a 20-acre chunk, but when we want you to come into the city, you jump. You come into the city right then. Okay, well, Doug's hands are a little bit tied at that point, and how to even get that handled, or if he even wanted that to be happened. But for us, that's kind of a big deal, because the city, as you have probably read, is into this 80-20 rule. So if they can bring in 80 acres, then 20 acres of us who really don't want to be in the city, we have to come along with it. Okay, so now you have a situation where the city tries to bundle together enough land so that they can bring a 60-acre or a 70-acre chunk into the field. The city's letter is directly oriented towards that. And I would first say that I am really pleased that Alan is not into that thing. First of all, it cost him a mint full of money to be connected to all of the regulations and the rules that the city would want to have. But they would become a puppet to the city. And the city would say, all right, now 75 acres of the YSS land, you come into the city, and by doing that, we can now take Mrs. Polinsky's land, you know, and without her even having any say or anything to do about it. So this is a hotbed of land here, okay, whereas a good chunk of us, like the Munsons and the Larsons and a lot of us that want the land, not for money, not because we want big $30,000, $40,000 acre prices on the land, but because we love the environment out there, and we want to keep it as long as we can and maintain it as long as we can. The interesting part about that is when I first heard about YSS coming out there and wanting the exact same thing, I thought, wow, here's a use for Doug's land. They want the exact same thing as I do. They want to have the rural environment. They want to have it. And not only that, but they want to use it for good. Because this organization, that's what they do. They do really good things. So you're concerned, well, my land, my grandchildren will be living out there. They may be camping right across from that land. But they'll never see it. And it's the same with you, Mrs. Polinsky. If the trees are built right, if the landscaping is done, I don't see Doug's wild parties that he used to have out there. Nor was I invited. You know, that's the kind of way it is out there. And it'd be very quiet. They could build practically anything they would want, and I would never know it. And they would be able to build a facility that they need. And you can tell from the leadership of the group, that's what they'll do. They'll build what they need to do and get the job done. And as far as it not having, knowing exactly what happens with the sewage and that sort of thing, well, there's rules and regulations. I know I'm building a building for my daughter out there, and Margaret comes out and she tells me exactly how I'm going to build the sewage system. It's going to be a mound system. There's enough perk here. I mean, that's the way it works.
And as far as the design, I believe these people will build a wonderful design of how that will do both the neighborhood front. Now, we are right next to the city. So we know that some of the use of the land around that area is going to be a little bit urbanish kind of tilted. And this is a little bit urbanish tilted, maybe. It's an institution, you know. It's like the old farm home, you know, you used to drive and you went to Marshalltown, you know, where the people could go out and older people, you know, and still farm and do things like that. I just can't think of a more wonderful use for that property. And to have it fit in a glove kind of situation for Doug to be able to liquidate the property, who he's leaving probably for health reasons and whatever, I mean, it's a dream home, and be able to have it utilized in something that his family was so involved with for many, many years is really an exciting thing. For us, it's exciting for Ames, and it just really fits good for this community, in my opinion. Thanks.
Thanks.
We'll keep them brief.
Okay.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not a race.
Okay.
We're okay.
First of all, I want to...
Can I get your name and address, please?
Oh, yeah. Alan Munson. I live on Dartmoor Road, 4001. And... A couple of things. First of all, I want to congratulate you kids on showing up and putting up with these adult machinations that we go through. It seems like every 3 years, 5 years. So anyway, I wasn't about to chew on them. I was about to compliment them when I was told to sit down. Anyway, secondly, I think that Kim presented very nicely one of the purposes all of us, or many of us, have being here, and that is our distrust of the city of Ames. We've been through, I think you recall, Wally Creek, where we were told that 3,800 signatures on we got 3,800 signatures. And one of the council members said, well, they didn't know what they were signing. They told us to go away. So we don't trust the city of Ames. And we think that this 130 letter is just a typical manifestation of how they deal with our southwest growth area, so to speak. So anyway, just wanted to get that off my chest. Tell you, kid, you're great. I'm done.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chuck Peebles. My wife and I own 5198 240th Street. I'd like to get it out there. I'm also a childhood participant in the YSS program. I graduated from that, I believe, in 94. Could have been late 93. So I'm also a drug addict, and I see the need for youth shelter services all across America. I totally believe in what they stand for. I actually agree with them need to do something bigger. With that being said, so I'm totally opposed for YSS doing anything to better the youth and everything in the public. I get it. I mean, I really do. What I have noticed, now my wife and I have that property for sale currently, and due to all you people with some longevity, and I'm young, and I got scared, but what I figured out early is that I'm a pawn in a chess game with my land. My land touches Doug McKay's land, and we bought that land with a lot of dreams, you know, of living rural, that close to town, be the beautifulest place on earth that's very developed, very mature trees. With that, we've noticed that our land is also a pawn in a game with the county or the city or whatever. We didn't move out there for that. We moved out there for peace of mind. And with that being said, we decided to build a house somewhere else and sell after the last year's go-around. We just didn't get into it to fight like that. So But what I wanted to voice is that I think the YSS is a great opportunity, you know, to probably, and I don't know the logistics of it, to have maybe a gift or an opportunity to move forward with such a great project is amazing. The flip side of that coin is that we have two interested buyers of our property currently that are totally on hold because they've heard rumor of the YSS. All the realtors know about it. Last year when our house was on the market, we also had over 10 offers that backed out because of the possible annexation that's on the table with McKay property. I went to the city of Ames to request a letter to say, hey, it's off the table because even the county's moving forward with YSS, or Doug's moving forward with YSS, but that's off the table. The city won't even play with me. So I think there's some sort of gray area on what the idea is for this land and the future of it. I know everybody wants a piece of the pie, and we gave up on that dream of that, but I think it's still a little gray, and I would like to, I just think there should be some clarity on it moving forward. We would love to sell our property. That's where we're at now. I wish we had a vested interest in the neighborhood. We're scared to live there. We're scared to stay there for 30 years and see what would happen. So I feel bad for a lot of people that are still in the air about that, but I just wanted to voice that, and thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Bob Finch. I live at 26949 550th Avenue, which is not close to this, but I do own the farmland directly east of it. West, I'm sorry. Directly west. Yeah, the tree's east. I've got farmland west. And my concern here, too, is, you know, what will happen. The city of Ames is, at least on two different occasions that I'm aware of, have been interested in annexing this area. And they've come with us, to us, and I talk to most of the people in this world, of the same requirements for us that they want of you. And you don't want those requirements. Well, we didn't either. But I don't know why you should be privileged out of those requirements just because of who you are, which I think is a great organization, and I have to compliment these young men here. But so I don't feel that you should have any special treatment as far as the requirements that the city would put on all of us out here too. And that's basically what I want to visit about. I do have a question though about your fire service. In the one the comments answers that you've had a discussion with somebody, with Kelly, who is it? Do you have, could you tell me that?
Email, I've got record of it back at the office, but a female, I've got
record. Well, I'm on the board, and nobody has talked to the board at all, and nobody's talked to the fire chief at all. It would take Ames is not capable of fighting a rural fire because they cannot haul water. And it would take a huge amount, you know, if you had a structure fire out there for this type of facility, it would take an additional investment by West Story Fire Department in order to be capable of fighting that fire. There's no way that they have the capability right now. They're designed for single-family dwellings. And I would have a very big concern about that. And I'll just leave it at that. But nobody has talked to the fire board or the fire chief in that regard.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak?
Could I just ask a question? I don't have to get up to.
Sure. Oh, well, he's coming up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. My question is regarding the covenants that you mentioned. Is Ames requesting that you grant those covenants? What's your position on it?
We'll discuss positions in a minute, but Ames is, since we can, in a conditional use permit process, apply any conditions we think are appropriate, Ames is asking us to consider those as appropriate conditions. But it's within our discretion to say yes or no to those. Does that help?
Yes.
Absolutely.
No. Okay. Hi. I'm John Moore. I live at 5318 240th. My property is the one that's directly to the east and to the northeast of the subject property. Just want to preface my comments, first of all, by saying I'm in support of YSS in general. I've actually been a mentor for them years ago. I actually still am in contact with the young man that I mentored with. Furthermore, just a little bit on my background, which will be relevant here in a bit. I come from a family of seven kids. All of us were adopted. Some of us were orphans. Some of us lived in the foster system. So we've seen the purpose and the great things for these kinds of services. Also, unfortunately, drug use has impacted my extended family as well. Some people have gotten healed and have gotten clean through counseling like this. Others haven't. I've got some relatives who are currently incarcerated for drug use. So I've seen both sides of the things. I also come to this with no illusions as to some of the behaviors from drug use as well. I've seen the violence, vandalism. I've had things stolen directly from me, from family members. So I see both sides of this, and I kind of sit on the fence a little. Ultimately, if this project goes forward, I'm probably the one that's most impacted by it. I share an 800-foot-long border with the property that's there. And I basically have concerns, I would say, probably in four areas. The first one is physical safety for my family. Looking at adopting some kids out there, and I guess kind of the test question for me in all this from a physical safety perspective is, can I leave my small kids in the yard to play unattended with this next door? Yes or no? Second area of concern is property crime. Does this institution increase my risk beyond what it is right now? Yes or no? Again, simple question. The third area is liability. It's a huge issue. And that is, will YSS voluntarily and contractually accept the liability due to any interactions that happen on my property due to kids that are on their property? Again, yes or no? And finally, the fourth area, which has been alluded to a little bit, is property value sustainment. Will there be protections put in place so that should I decide to sell or one of the other neighboring properties decide to sell, that we can honestly and reasonably show potential buyers that this facility isn't going to impact them negatively now and in the future? Again, kind of a yes or no thing. That's something that YSS plays a part in and you as the Planning Commission play a part in. Currently, I don't feel we have anywhere near enough information to assess these concerns. You probably got the email that I sent out with a lot of questions in there. Some of them have been answered. I frankly found a lot of the answers to be, I'll say, incomplete and not in depth, nearly to where they need to be. And in particular, probably my biggest concern with this is, we need to see what phase two and phase three is going to look like as well. It's easy to put something in place that's small right now and then have it be a case that once it's there, everything just grows and there's no review process really to stop it. So in my view, again, I could support this thing if I could say yes to all of those other questions. But right now, given the lack of information on this, I can't support it in its current configuration. So that's what I have to say. Any questions for me?
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Yes,
sir. Can
we
speak just for a second?
Can we make sure everybody else has an opportunity first? Is anyone else who'd like to speak? Go ahead, sir.
Just a quick comment what Bob said about the City of Ames. It's a different, the City of Ames doesn't really have any reason, I don't believe, or any rights or legal rights that they can put on YSS to request them to annex at their whim and or to build at their particular, whatever codes and whatever things and utilities. They aren't in that position as they were with Doug. Because Doug wanted to subdivide. He wanted to divide the property. So it's a completely different thing. They're not. It's not a similar apples-for-apples thing between YSS and where Doug was. All of us, I wanted to subdivide or split an extra lot, 2 acres off of my property. The city said, absolutely not unless you sign the same similar agreement to what Doug is. So it's not you know, YSS isn't getting anything different than what anybody else was getting. It's just that they're not asking to have it subdivided. So the city really doesn't have any skin in this game, you know, legally to do it, other than if you decide to give away our rights and force that upon us, because that's what you'd be doing. As far as the other things that are said, you know, and the concerns, you know, that I, you know, I understand those are all legitimate things, and it affects our family too. And I guess I'm willing to do it on faith. I think it would work. So that's what I mean.
Are there any other comments from the audience?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's the next? Apparently, the only thing I've seen scheduled is a meeting on March 15th. Where there's. My question is, when you make this decision, you make it behind closed doors. You have more discussion.
Sure.
Because these are important issues to us. We've been battling these for 20 years. Annexation, and that's the crux of the matter, and that's why many of us are here. And we just like an open answer. Can you answer that?
Okay. I can tell you what the process regarding this application will be. And Jerry can help me out here. As far as annexation, that's beyond the scope of tonight and above all of our pay grades. So, the Planning Commission's charge is to make a recommendation, and only a recommendation, to the Board of Adjustment. The Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial body. They'll make the final call. When they make a decision on it, which will be a month after us,
the 15th,
assuming we stay on the schedule, the 15th, then there is a 90-day period in which an appeal can be filed. 30-day period in which an appeal can be filed. And at that point, it's a civil judicial case, so it moves to court. That's the process. There are no decisions going to be made behind closed doors. Everything from here on out is a public hearing. Did I get any of that wrong? Besides the judge, yeah. Okay.
But do you do the things that Ames wants? Is that in conjunction?
That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay. The request from the city of Ames is purely a request. We can choose to forward that on with our recommendation or not. And those things, the things that the city of Ames has requested, are only if this happens, then this. They're not things that would be triggered immediately. They would only be triggered by future annexation action.
We know that.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're kind of like the district court, and the next one is the Board of Appeals. You're going to make a decision based upon these covenants that Ames proposed. You're going to make a decision.
We're going to make a recommendation, and it may or may not include any of those things.
Yeah. But you're going to decide on that.
We're the advisory committee. The Board of Adjustment is the district court.
So literally the next steps now, once we conclude the public comment, is for commission to discuss. So you'll all be here while we discuss. The recommendation has already been made by staff, right, that it gets approved based on these conditions, right? So... There's already a staff recommendation based on the CUP. We're now the time, based on all of your comments and input, is time for us to discuss and then make a recommendation, and we can go with that with something else.
Yes, sir. I'm going to ask you to step up to the podium just so we don't get too extensive of comments off the record or not on the recording. Thank you.
I just was wondering if it's okay, can I address the question to anyone out here real quick? I have a question for Mr. Allen I would like to ask. Can I do that here? It's a quick question.
We've got 2 minutes.
Okay, it's a quick question. And again, going back to the physical safety part of things that we talked about before. In the response that you had sent back late today, talks about elopements, okay? And just looking at the numbers that were sent back in the email, it looks like in the current situation in the city of Ames, there's about one per month out of the numbers-wise. And that's with a current population of about 18. And so if you double that or 2.5 times that, you're looking at 2 or 3 a month. And my first question is, I want to make sure, is that an accurate statement the way I'm viewing an elopement as far as leaving? And secondly, can you kind of characterize how these are? I mean, if elopements are basically somebody who steps off the sidewalk and they step back on and that's all it is, that's fine, then I'm not worried about that. But if elopements are, we're going to take off, run through properties, possibly steal things along the way for money, that's a different ballgame entirely. And I guess I would like an honest characterization of what typically happens during these elopements and how many there are.
Yeah, you know, we actually talked, we ran the reports. We, you know, I feel like we've got a pretty good process in place as it relates to documenting what we call critical incidents. There was some debate in our office today about whether we'd share those numbers or not. You know, I want to be a good neighbor. And so in full disclosure, we gave you all the information. My hope and desire is that kids will run away less. There will be fewer elopements here because we're giving them some space to breathe. I don't know. I can't characterize all 14 of those. But some of them, it literally is a kid in confrontation with a staff saying, this place sucks, and walking out the door and going around the block and coming back. And so we've got specific procedures in place that when that happens, you know, Belinda Gens, my experts, you know, step by step, staff take this action when that happens. I would say the majority of those elopements are very short term and the kids return. On occasion, a kid might not return, but I would say that is the exception, not the rule. My hope and desire is that we double the number of kids. We don't see more elopements. We see fewer elopements because this is the right location for a kid to be in treatment versus in the midst of downtown North Ames.
Okay.
Let me caution here that we are, everyone who has indicated that they'd like to speak has spoken, and we're kind of going a second pat around through here, and we're not going to turn this into a back and forth. So we'd just like you to get, if you have any additional comments you want to get on the record, let's get them on the record, and we'll move on to Planning Commission discussion about this, okay? So go ahead.
So I just, again, my name is Teresa, was feeling like the crux of the discussion here is not annexation. The crux of the discussion is really, Andrew keeps saying back that we're being neighborly and we're being open, but yet we do not have answers for security and safety for the residents as well as the neighborhoods. We haven't addressed any medical safety. We barely addressed fire. We have somebody from the volunteer fire department saying that it's not adequate. So we have several things that were also addressed in John Moore's letter that really are very, as he said, incomplete. And I think incomplete is a really good, accurate word. So if we are going to make advisements, in my experience is more information is better and more accurate information gets us a more complete. Otherwise, yes, we have an unopened-ended project here that might not be 16 beds, it might not be 32 beds, it might not be 48 beds, and it might not be youth. It might not be from 13 to 18. There is an opening there that it might be adults, which changes the whole format of this entire program. No one in this room in their right mind, according to me, could say that this is not a valuable program. It's an extremely valuable program. I think everyone agrees that it is a needed project. But to say that this is the right location, I think, is very, very premature with the answers of security and safety, not only for the residents, but for the neighborhood, not answered, along with development of the road and other things that I experienced due to living there.
Thanks.
So thank you.
Okay, we are going to close the public hearing and move on to commission discussion now. Commission, what are your thoughts?
Any additional questions for the staff?
I have a question for Jerry. The text amendment process, it was said that we should have, a notice should have been provided to all adjacent property owners or property owners within a certain distance that a text amendment was being considered.
We followed the process set out in state law, which talks about using the publications. In this case, we have three publications that the Board of Supervisors have adopted, and we used that process to communicate what was being requested and proposed. And then after that went through the process to be reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and then ultimately the Board of Supervisors, which text amendments have three considerations, which again is required under state law. And we went through that process to have that considered by the Board of Supervisors at three separate considerations. After that was reviewed and ultimately approved, it was published in those three papers.
So can I summarize by saying that you're saying we followed the law and we followed our own procedures?
That's correct.
Thank you, Jerry.
Was the Kelly Fire Department notified?
We did not specifically notify them through the review of this. We did obtain information from the applicant, and this is something that they communicated to us that they had contact with them. We also talked about other jurisdictions that they met with, including the Sheriff's Department, Story County Sheriff, City of Ames Fire Department. So we took that information and made that. I'm sorry, I'm speaking into the microphone. Doing the best I can.
Did you want me to go on record on that?
Not right now, thank you. Okay.
Jerry, I'm curious. I think it was a concern that maybe this plan that was proposed didn't have enough detail. Do you feel like from the Planning and Development Department that this plan did provide enough detail in terms of what we require?
Yeah, I can tell you through our conceptual review process, again, which is an informal sit-down with the applicant and the departments here at the county, that the information that we had that was submitted both in the narrative form, the written form, and the site plan sketch, initially we didn't feel that there was enough information, so we used that venue as an opportunity to want to learn more about what was being requested, and we thought the staff and those that were present provided a lot of information, which was very helpful. And then the input that was provided from the county also, too, was, I think, very helpful to the applicants, because I think in the end we did get a document, conditional use permit application, written narrative, and updates to that drawing that made it more than adequate to move forward through this process to review it.
If this permit were ultimately granted, the applicant would still have to get a zoning permit for all the structures, correct?
That's correct.
So if the zoning permit application show with actual setbacks shown and everything was significantly different than what the appeared to be shown in the plan for this CUP, you would put a halt on things, correct?
We'll definitely use the drawing that was submitted for the CUP to make decisions for the zoning permit application, as you mentioned, that will be submitted for all the buildings, all the site improvements that would be proposed. There's also a detailed site plan that's required, and they would be required to meet all our Story County general land development requirements. So that's where you're going to get a lot of the details. We're going to ask for construction drawings. That's the stage where a lot of that detail will come into play and be reviewed. And the process, again, it gets routed to our department to start. We submit that out to all the other departments for review, get comments. We're communicating with the applicant, with the applicant's architect, engineers, and the goal is to have them produce something that meets the county's requirements. And then ultimately it gets placed on the Board of Supervisors agenda for review and action.
Does that building permit process have specific requirements in it related to things like fire response time, or including sprinklers, or things like that as concessions?
Not specifically, no. And I probably need to remind the Planning and Zoning Commission that the county presently does not have an adopted building code.
Right.
So primarily what we're looking at are the zoning aspects of what's being requested.
This might be a question for Andrew, and if I may. What codes would you have to follow? What regulations would you have to follow in constructing this building, since the county doesn't have a building code?
It was alluded to in the permit that was submitted that we're under jurisdiction of Iowa Department of Public Health, so they do regular reviews. We have to meet certain restrictions and code as it relates to how we're going to take care of these kids. We're also CARF certified, which is a national accreditation only received by a small percentage of organizations like ours that requires a review every 3 years. That's extremely detailed and focuses, again, on how we provide the programs and the care for the kids.
I should add, that with any electrical work, they would need to seek assistance from the State Fire Marshal's office. It would be under their review, application, and inspection.
What about the septic system?
Because of the size of the project and the number of people that would be there, it would fall under the state IWR requirements.
Excuse me, we still can't hear back.
Please.
Speaking.
Gary, I think you're tailing off a little bit.
Sorry.
That's all right.
There was a question about the septic system. Because of the size of the project, the number of people that would be there at that site, it would fall under the Iowa Department of Natural Resources for their review and regulation control.
Thanks.
Gary, you've been quiet.
Listening.
Okay. Jerry, this CUP only applies to the first phase, correct? Of the, we're being asked to approve the entire plan, including the additional phases of the residential pods shown on the.
I think it includes everything. You know, they did provide that in the written narrative as well as the drawing that shows the phases 1 through 3, which shows the treatment facility and the two. Pods, if you want to call that, for the, you know, the clients, but it also shows the second and third phase addition as well. So I think all of it.
Okay. So we are interpreting it to be the entirety of, right, of all the phases. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. I'm going to move to approve the conditional use permit using staff alternate number 2 and without the City of Ames requests.
We have a motion by Cable. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Motion by Cable and second by Smith. Discussion on the motion?
There's a lot of concerns, right? There's a lot of people that have differing views, and there's a lot of premises. I think people's ideas about what's happening and how it will impact them. There's financial impact and security and fire and whether the location is appropriate, if it's an appropriate use for the land use. And I see those. The problem is kind of the chicken and the egg, right? How can they move forward and get the detailed plat and plans and designs and grading and all of that done before they can raise the money as a nonprofit needed to pay for those, when they can't really raise the money for that until they have approval to move forward and actually have something to move forward with. So I need to rely on
for myself on staff and on their input and recommendation and the expertise that they provide, and also the input from the public, which we've all heard tonight. That said, there are some specific concerns related to fire, and there are some, even despite the fact that there's not Story County building codes that are going to force their hand, there are construction design elements that can take those into effect. And whether you design in automated sprinklers or other types of construction that can minimize those impacts. And I'm going to trust that YSS is going to comply with fire marshal review for electrical and all of the other permit specific requirements that they'll need to meet. Septic with the DNR will have to approve that, especially near a watershed. There will be some very specific requirements around that. But I think that there was also, I think, a lot of very specific concerns about us moving forward with approving this, but putting on the restrictions as requested by the city of Ames, specifically related to future assessments and annexation and things. And I personally, I appreciate the motion that was put forth, because that's not our, I don't feel it's appropriate for our place to be able to put those restrictions on future, on the future of the area. That's really between the city of Ames and the landowners. So,
DJ, now's your chance.
He answered all the questions.
Okay.
Not really.
Gary?
Mark, I have to sum your questions. I think the buildings will have to be built to the Iowa code, and that includes Iowa plumbing, electrical, HVAC, and building code as is required. I wouldn't be surprised that their insurance company won't require fire protection. I know that's not our deal, but I would guess that's going to happen, and that's probably going to fall under state code when you have housing, when you have dormitories or housing for people.
Agreed.
Well, I don't really want this to go away. We are in such a unique time in our whole country that when you have a proven thing that works, I just want to know where the girl's house is.
In Mason City.
All right, glad to hear. The questions that you all brought up, the concerns that you did, the support that you all have, because I've been very torn about all of this, but I do not want an opportunity like this. I'm sorry to say, we need these kinds of facilities in our culture right now. I hope that the questions and the concerns are addressed in the continuing process, because that is obviously a concern of other colleagues as well. The best thing this kind of situation can be is you are moving in. You need to be the people that reach out to your community. You have such an opportunity to make this really work, because this kind of situation is not going to go away. And if you have something that really works, arch 3 stars, didn't you? I don't want to see this go away, so I'm mixed, but I think I got to figure it out.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I just want to make sure that we're recommending what our county staff have recommended, but not what the city of Ames has asked.
Right.
That's correct.
That's what I understand.
Okay. That's
what
I thought.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion by cable forwarding on the staff's recommendation, specifically mentioning we will not be applying any of the additional conditions asked for by the city of Ames. And we have a second. Can we get a roll call poll, please?
Smith.
Yes.
Holstrom.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yes.
So positive recommendation will move on to the Board of Adjustment, which will be heard. You said the 14th?
15th. Everybody that received a notice will receive a notice for the Board of Adjustment meeting, which again is March 15th.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming out and for your comments. We appreciate it. All right, we're done public hearings and moving on to comments from the staff. Anything more tonight, Jerry?
Just that in April, we will be updating the Planning and Zoning Commission on a couple of work program items. Construction demolition, siding was one of the items, and then Fernald, the Village of Fernald. So we're going to have some updates from the planning staff on those two items for sure. And of course, the development application. Okay? Comments for the commission?
Thank you. Do a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody.